Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Hi, I'm George Athens, your host for this podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today, we are speaking with Darren Bessette in Ottawa. We'll be discussing CAR T-cell therapy. Thanks for being our guest today, Darren.
Thank you very much, George.
Can you tell us a little bit about what type of cancer you had, first of all?
Sure. So I was diagnosed with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. This was my second diagnosis. I had my first one in 2016, which I did an R-CHOP therapy, and that worked great for 2+ years. And then in 2019, I was re-diagnosed with the same lymphoma. So in 2019, when I had to go back and go through the process of chemotherapy, this time around, they gave me GDP. Unfortunately, I was not reactive to it, though there was some benefits that I did see personally. It didn't actually address my cancer. So at the time, there was a few options for me. I could do another round of chemotherapy, which didn't have as good of success compared to CAR T-cell therapy. So CAR T-cell therapy at the time was a revolutionary technology. It's actually kind of on the lines of gene splicing. What they do is they take a protein and they merge it to my T cells. And so they extract the T cells from my body, they attach this protein to it. And this protein now acts as basically a target. It's able to detect the cancerous cells and attack them, where before the T cells just ignored those cells. So this was really the basis of the drug that you want to call it. And it's introduced intravenously. So what it does is it goes in and it attacks the cells and then clears up the cancer that way. So it's revolutionary, very expensive, very new. And at the time, I was only able to get it either in the US or through a trial through the Princess Margaret Hospital.
You seem to be pretty up to speed and knowledgeable on this type of cancer and the treatment. How did you come by all this knowledge?
It's actually just a long process. So I had some great oncologists that helped explain it to me. But as I was going through the therapy, ironically, I was subscribed to Wired magazine and they did a full article on CAR T-cell therapy. And then ever since then, every time there's an article or a webinar, I get involved and learn more about it. Also, I'm part of the Leukemia and Lymphoma's First Connections. And because of I've gone through this treatment, I'm often called upon to talk to people who are then undergoing this treatment. So I can help them and explain to them what the process is, what it feels like, what it looks like, how does it work. And so I've had to do a lot of research to further complement what I already knew in the past.
What was the most challenging part, let's say, before, during, and after your treatments?
For me, because of the unknown of having gone through that first round of chemo the second time around and knowing that it didn't work, to me, that was the scariest moment. Not knowing what the path forward would look like. And then when the doctor proposed this therapy, which of course was still considered experimental, not being able to access it here locally, all that combined caused a lot of strain and a lot of stress for the family. And then finding out that I could access it in Toronto, but only through a trial, and then never really knowing if I got into the trial, though I kept going to Toronto on numerous visits for different tests, it wasn't until like a month and a half in that I finally was told, yeah, you're in. But up until that point, I had to stay off chemo. So from my last chemo session, which was in May of 2019, up until my next chemo session, which was late June, my cancer was actually growing. And so there was still the concern of, well, at what point do we try to intervene in between and maybe get kicked out of the trial? So there's a lot of stress involved because of the nature of how I was introduced to the CAR T-cell therapy. But in the end, I was successful and everything worked well. And it's been over 2 years now that I'm essentially cancer-free.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is it hard then to get access to this type of treatment? And does it impact a lot of people that are dealing with blood cancers, or is this a very sort of rare and isolated type of cancer and treatment?
I think the cancer itself is not isolated. It seems to be fairly common. This particular treatment is a little bit difficult to get access to, primarily because it's cost. When I did the research way back when in 2019, if I was to go through the US and get the treatment done, it was going to be over $700,000 to get the treatment. So when the Ontario government had approved the treatment, just had not approved its being administered from their public funds, they were willing to pay for out-of-country services to get the treatment. However, I didn't need to do that because I was able to go through the trial. And so therefore, in my case, the drug company was covering the costs. But I think the biggest challenge for people nowadays is just you have to go through essentially two recursions of the cancer before they even think of giving it to you. So they want to try the R-CHOP method first with the chemotherapy. If that's successful, then great, they'll stop there. But if that doesn't work, then they'll look at other avenues, potentially doing the bone marrow transplant first because it's a little less expensive than maybe going to a CAR T cell therapy. I wasn't able to go through the bone marrow transplant. It was just better for me because my cancer was so aggressive to go straight to CAR T cell therapy.
So what type of advice would you have to others that might be facing these kinds of challenges and probably the kind of things that you get asked when you get involved in this outreach type of program?
Yeah. So for me, my strongest advice is research. Reach out to your local cancer society, whether it's the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, your doctors, get as much information as you can. Find out if you can qualify for these more advanced techniques that seem to be producing better results. Be aware that they're there and always question whether or not you can be put on that list to be able to receive those treatments. In my case, that's often what I tell people. Usually they've already heard about the CAR T cell therapy at this point, but there are a few cases where they haven't yet. So I keep mentioning to them that even though it's your first diagnosis, talk with your doctor, see if you can maybe get onto that list sooner than later, depending on how aggressive your cancer is, to make sure that the oncologist is aware of the therapy and can do his own research or her own research to make sure they know when is the right time to introduce that into your treatment plan.
Did you have any side effects while you were going through this CAR T cell therapy? I mean, you say you feel great today. Was there fatigue or anything that you had to deal with?
Oh my God, it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever went through. The treatment itself is kind of ironic. My wife and I, she had been following me throughout this whole process. We had expected that once we got the cells, the magical day that my cells are going to be reintroduced, there was going to be party and fanfare, and you know, everyone was going to rise up and celebrate the fact that I'm now on the right path. And once it was put into my body, it was like, yeah, we're done. And then everyone just walked away and we're like, that's it. So the next couple of days, I felt great. You know, I was walking around, I was doing a lot of things. And then probably about day four or day five was when everything started going downhill. With this type of therapy, the immune system gets very activated. And so they go through this thing called a cytokine storm, which is when the immune system just goes crazy. And it's basically killing off all the cancer cells. But the body is fighting so hard, the immune system goes out of whack. And so you get into high fevers, the potential for memory loss and being affected from all that. So when I was in the hospital the first few weeks, I actually had the ICU team coming by every day just to check in on me to see how my progress was, to make sure that if anything went for a downturn, they were ready and could able to transport me right away into the ICU. But for me, it was really just the major fevers, the constant chills, the hot and cold for the first 2 weeks. And then once I got out of the hospital, I needed to stay near the hospital, like within an hour, just in case another one of these cytokine storms happened and they had to react really quickly. So I was there for the next 30 days. And during that 30 days, it was a warm day in Toronto. My best example was, the first weekend I was out, I had a friend of mine who allowed us to stay at their condo in Toronto. It was a beautiful day, probably 40 degrees out. I'm sitting on his deck, bright sun, inside a sleeping bag that's rated for minus 20 with a toque on, shivering. That's how cold I was. And it took a really long time, almost weeks before that, finally, I was able to get rid of those fevers. And then unfortunately, I got an infection in my leg from a very minor, small scratch on my leg that caused an infection where I had to be in the hospital for 2 weeks after I finally got home from being in Toronto. It took months to get my immune system somewhat back to normal. Even still now, my immune system is still low. It's still not perfect, but it's good enough that it doesn't need to be modified or helped along. But it took almost a year before I started getting my strength back to be able to go back to work. And only now in the last, I'd say 6 months or so, that I almost feel like I can do everything I was able to do prior to the cancer.
Boy, well, I guess a lot of credit to your medical team too.
Yes, I am very thankful. I was lucky to have two sets of doctors. I had my local doctor here in Ottawa who had been following me for a long time. Plus I had a special team in Toronto that was managing the trial. So whenever I had questions, I could go to either one, and both were available through email, which made the process a lot easier, not having to book an appointment and being able to ask these questions more formally. I could just do it over email and get the answer fairly quick.
Well, one final question as we wrap up here, Darren. How do you believe this type of cancer and the treatment and everything, the challenges you have changed your life? Is there a positive takeaway here?
Definitely. For me, I view things a lot more differently now. I have gone out of my way to help others in this situation. So I'm active with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, both as a volunteer, but also as a fundraiser. I make it a point to help people who are going through a cancer diagnosis, whether it is the same as me or something different, to help them understand and cope and come up with some techniques that may or may not work, but at least give them the information they can try to see if it does, and move forward and try to be that sign that, you know, just because you have a cancer diagnosis doesn't mean it's a terminal diagnosis. There's definitely opportunities now, especially now with a lot of the technologies, where cancer diagnoses are actually survivable. And if you can mitigate them, you can still live a long and happy life.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your experience, and more importantly, for giving back. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Take care, and we'll perhaps talk again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community service manager in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research.